are at the 28th lecture, Melbourne ACC. Your progress at large is pretty fair, thanks to your excellent instructors, whom I have every confidence. Good. Now, with all due respect to that, I want to tell you what I'm not satisfied with. Aside from your case gains, which we won't worry about, because there are no cases in this class, your general performance of the TRs, which is pretty bad. And your rather diffident approach. The IC brakes going all over the place. You're neither as clever nor as poised as I want to see you. You're doing all right in these other categories. I'm just teasing you. But I'm not teasing you now. This could go for any Scientologist. But his cleverness and confidence, willingness to tackle cases and so forth, could definitely be improved. Hardly anybody here whose general approach and willingness just to tackle them head on and so on couldn't be improved. You go along the lines of improving your technical accuracy, your accuracy in giving acknowledgments and that sort of thing. Actually, some of these demonstrations I've given you here have technical errors in them. The last demonstration I gave you had an ARC break in it. Not necessarily the best auditing I do by a long ways. I actually wasn't trying to audit. I was trying to show you something. I was trying to do something specific with a case, which is just a little bit different. No alibi. But you go in the direction of making sure that you get an acknowledgement in every time, and making sure that you sit there every time, and hold your E-meter just right every time, and go all of your TRs every time, and all of this every time, and so forth, and you're not measuring up to my standards. Something for you to think about. You're not measuring up to my standards. We take all those things for granted. That's just something that you ought to be able to do or not do, as the case may be. You understand? Because auditing, technically, is what you can get away with. Now, let's take up your state of mind and general handling of cases. And let's find fault with that, shall we? I never saw such an incurious lot of people. I'm not trying to re-stimulate your curiosity. But I'm just saying, well, I never... You're not curious enough. You just aren't. Now listen to me. Every case is a story. A very long story. A very complicated story with tremendous plot twists. And not one single case you will ever face is an easy case. Just get over thinking they are, or that you'll someday find one, or that someday by some necromancy I conduct in a laboratory someplace, I will push a button, all cases become easy cases, and you simply stand off and chant at them with a small facsimile of an E-meter in your hand, and they'll all go clear. They aren't. They aren't. That isn't the way cases are. All cases are rough cases. Now, you as auditors shouldn't be setting any example as a rough case, but you'll find out that every case has its dog legs and its zigs and its zags and its fantastic complications. And if you're not interested or watching, and if you don't know what those cases are, you're going to miss and miss and miss and miss. And then you're going to stick yourself on the track by blaming Ron. Now, auditing is your ability to read and straighten out a PC. How do you suppose anybody could ever fix a radio set without ever looking in the radio set? That'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? Well, now, we could get around this by training a lot of blind mice to run on a certain pattern and then never wiring a radio set up in any other way but that. Now, minds consist basically of postulates, which, of course, are also considerations and agreements. Matter, energy, space, time, and forms. That's what minds are. That's all they are. And Thetan is just Thetan. And the thing he does best and worst is create. Postulates, considerations, agreements, matter, energy, space, time, and forms, and the significance and complications thereof. Now, that's all. But boy, the things he can do with that simple number of factors exceed anything any electronic brain will ever turn out as a number. That's for sure. The complications. Now, basically, the only reason a case is a case is because it's an overt act. That's simple enough, isn't it? And the basics you're operating with are simple enough. Well, for God's sakes, learn those well so the complications of these various basics that you get into in cases don't throw you for a loop. And you say, well, there must be something else. You've lost the second you say there must be something else. Now, the most basic overt act there is to make somebody guilty of an overt act. That is the most fundamental overt act there is. It's to make somebody guilty of an overt act. Hence, we get victim with this tremendous power, because victim is an effort to get the perpetrator to duplicate the horrible state of the victim. But all a victim is trying to do is to make somebody else guilty of an overt act, so that you could run a whole case with this one command. Think of someone you've made guilty of an overt act. Or any variation thereof. That's very complicated. See, that's the effect point. That's the apparent effect point has flipped to a cause point. But that's the basic cause point of aberration. Causing somebody else to be guilty of an overt act is the most overt act one can overt. And these cases sit in front of you as a demonstration of how to make other people guilty of an overt act. And that's all a case is. It's a composite of efforts to make other people guilty of an overt act, culminating in the almost perfect combination of how to make people guilty of overt acts. Sounds pretty horrible, doesn't it? That's what a case is. That's what a reactive bank is built out of. And that's its basic postulates and considerations. How to make somebody else guilty of an overt act. Why do the police arrest people? That's to show those people that their acts are overt acts. That's why police arrest people. Why have you struck an animal or another human being? Why? Why have you struck this person? That's to make him guilty. So much so that if you strike some people, they know they've done something. That's just automatic. You hit them, they know they've done something. They feel guilty at once. Bing. You say, bang, bang. Not what have I done, but I have done something. So much stimulus response. Now you bang at a case, and he knows he's done something. Bang the case too hard, and he assumes too hard that he's done something. Right? Now, the reason they put people in prisons is to make them aware that they've done something. Okay? The reason they beat people, kick people, so forth, is to make them realize they've done something. Well, the reason people get sick is to make somebody else realize he's done something. And we get the old service facsimile. But let's redefine service facsimile as that facsimile most used to make other people realize they are guilty of overt acts. So therefore, a service facsimile is totally itself an overt act. You recognize it as such, and when you start auditing it out of somebody, you realize you're taking away from him the source of his overt acts, and you're removing one more overt act from the world, so you think you're doing a good thing, and by golly, you are. Get the idea? But it's much better. That was Dianetic style. Now, it's much better psychologically to get the person overdoing this. See, why is everybody running around trying to make everybody else guilty of having done an overt act? Well, you'd say this is social discipline. Well, it may be social discipline, but it's pretty crazy. Now, every case that sits down in your auditing chair divides into two categories. Two broad categories. Those who are obsessively going to make you guilty of an overt act. As a highly specialized case, this is what we call the ARC Brakey case. All he's trying to do is make you guilty of an overt act. Your auditing of him makes you guilty of an overt act. See? And that's his total mission. And everything he does and puts up is to make you guilty of an overt act. That's the person who's ARC breaking at you. He's trying to make you guilty of an overt act. So after a while, you begin to consider auditing an overt act, and you stop auditing. You understand? Because these people have been sitting there convincing you that it was an overt act. You get too many of these cases, and next thing you know, why, you fall for it, and you say, well, I'm guilty of an overt act. Auditing is an overt act, and I shouldn't be plowing into mines this way. I shouldn't be doing this because it's an overt act, and look what I did to poor Jehepsibah. Smashed her, I did. Ruined her completely. She went away from there and spun for 19 days. That's a hell of an overt act, see? Why do you think she spun? Made you guilty of an overt act, right? Well, you get a good reality on that one, and you'll never be fooled again along this line. It's the PC's overts against the auditor that make the kidding aberrated. Now, of course, an auditor can throw a bunch of overts against the PC in controlling the overts which the PC is throwing against the auditor, and the auditor can play this game in reverse. Every once in a while, you'll find yourself doing code breaks, and you say, well, I didn't intend to do a code break. Yet you did one. Well, how'd you code break? Well, it was an ARC break, as far as the PC was concerned, but your code break was entirely prompted by an effort to handle the overts of the PC. And you tried to handle the overts of the PC and became guilty of an overt yourself. So you get this one sawing back and forth, and it blows you out of auditing and blows people out of session and gets everything going round and round because the only source of a blow is too many overts. By the PC, not the auditor. The next thing you know, you haven't got auditing in progress. You've got a contest in progress by which the auditor is trying to convince the PC that the PC is guilty of an overt act, and the PC is trying to convince the auditor that the auditor is guilty of an overt act. And nobody wins on this one. Nobody at all. Nobody'd ever win on this one. Now let's be very factual about this. There was a good reason for man to begin this one. He was actually trying to protect others more than himself. You see, it's impossible for Thetan ever to get trapped on a Theta trap. It's only possible for a Thetan to believe that other Thetans get trapped on a Theta trap. And then commit an overt act against people who plant Theta traps, which, of course, makes him then get caught on Theta traps. You get the circuitous thing, and it has to be. There's nothing direct. There's no trap will ever be made. None could ever be constructed the way the rationale goes of the mind. No trap could ever be made of any kind that would just plain ordinary catch people. Trinity, or just ordinary, just plain catch Thetans. A Thetan wouldn't stick on one. There has to be this other rationale. You see, he has to believe Thetans get stuck on it, and then he has to have overts against people that put them up, or overts against traps, or he himself has to start this thing going so that he puts up traps and gets people to believe that people get stuck on them, and then get them to do overts against him so that they get caught on the traps. See, that's the only way a Theta trap will operate. Take it from me. A person can never be trapped in anything he has an overt act against. He has no overt act against. It just isn't possible to be trapped by something you have no overt act against. That's it. If you've got a criminal, it's perpetually being arrested by the police. Perpetually. Snap, snap, snap. We had one person who, we didn't have him, but he was around. And one fine day, he was standing on a street corner. Son of a gun, a couple of cops. He was just standing on a street corner. It was broad daylight and everything. A couple of cops come up, take him, put him in a squad car, and take him down and interrogate him about something or other. They didn't even know what it was. They just knew the thing to do was to pick him up and take him down to the jailhouse. They just knew that. They just looked at him. It wasn't even that he flinched or anything. He just went, bang. Well, now this fellow, of course, has tremendous overts against cops. And his overts against cops eventually add up to a total overtness against cops, which make him stick any place cops say. See, that is the place to stick. Jail. You're never going to get a criminal in any other frame of mind than being a criminal by putting him in prison. You cannot put criminals in prison and have anything happen. They remain criminals. They are confirmed as criminals because now they know that it works. And it's a very, very dull thing. A very, very dull thing for police to put somebody in jail for 2 years and then let him out and then put him in jail and let him out and put him in jail because they're going to put him in jail a second time. And they put him in jail again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Most fabulous thing you ever watched. There are people who have never been arrested who are guilty of overt acts against the society, but they kind of punish themselves. But this game called Cops and Robbers is a game which plays itself off in an exact way. It has to do not with a society at large. The criminal goes around, makes sure that there's some police handy, and robs a store. See, he plots it all out. He always leaves clues. Why, Sherlock Holmes never could operate it if it hadn't been for this basic mechanism. The criminal always walks in carefully, looks all around, finds a nice wide place on the glass showcase, and takes his thumb and rolls a print off on it. Always does. All a cop has to do is look for where the criminal wrote his name and address. And police work is as good as you can find the name and address on the crime. That's about all it is. It's fantastic. People don't even commit crimes to get anything. They go in, they get $5 or something like that, off of somebody, or 2 pounds or something, and they get that. They don't use it for anything. They take it out and throw it away. They go and rob a hawk shop, something like that. They take all the clocks and junk they got. You'd think they'd sell them for money or something like that. They don't. They leave them in garbage cans and give them to girlfriends and break them up and pick their teeth with them. Most fantastic thing you ever saw. And then they'll steal some of the most unlikely objects. And they'll do some of the most unlikely things. It drives cops almost batty, trying to outguess these super unpredictable people. And the cops still think that men steal money because they want money. That isn't true. Men steal money because they want to go to jail. Because those who steal money because they want money are never detected by cops. Now, here's this oddity of overt acts versus a particular segment of the society. And if you were to take the police out of the society, then the people who... just remove the police from the society totally. No police in the society at all. I know this would be pretty gruesome in the present state, but you do that, and you'd have an awful lot of criminals walking around trying to find out who they attack now. They'd be very puzzled, and they'd be very upset, and they wouldn't know what to do. because the fine course of human affairs has been totally interrupted. There's no jail to go to. There's no cop to spit at. See, here we go. If you ever see a criminal, you face him with a cop, he'll go into one or two states. He'll absolutely go raveling mad, or he'll totally succumb and go into utter propitiation and terror. See, it's a violent reaction against law and order. Now, similarly, if we put a great deal, many more police in the society than we have people all of a sudden going into criminal activities who weren't going in before. There's enough police around to make lots of overt acts against. See? It's this crazy game starts up. You get the idea? So that law and order shouldn't be this game. Law and order should actually be picking up the people in the society who are guilty of overt acts against it and rehabilitating them. That would be the only effective police work that anybody ever did. Similarly, insanity is based on this fact. You get people will actually go to a psychiatrist and get an electric shock and go back the next day and get an electric shock and be told to report at 10:30 on next Tuesday, and they will be right there to get another electric shock even though it busts their spine every time. It's the wildest thing you ever saw. The repeater along this line. Guilty of an overt act in that direction, it just keeps on being guilty of overt acts in that direction one way or the other. Now, insanity is the below-death manifestation of look what you've done to me. See, insanity is below death. You start curing up the insane or start bringing them up through the band, they start talking about dying, committing suicide, and so on. This was something that Freud knew nothing about and almost wrecked him. They have carefully kept very, very secret the tremendous number of people who undergo psychoanalytic treatment who commit suicide in the first 3 months. It is an enormous number. Big percentages. The psychoanalyst always says he came to me too late. Now, if he got any effect at all, he started bringing people up through death. Well, he has to bring them up through death rapidly enough so that the individual starts to live. Insanity, however, is a manifestation or mechanism put up to show people they've been guilty of being cruel. Being cruel, unreasonable, thoughtless, and so forth. You'll find it manifesting itself in such a place as more wealthy families are victimized by it, or political families are more victimized by it than poorer families, because a poor family, can always come along and shuffle by in some terribly disreputable shoes. See? But how about the rich man's son? He can't drive by in his Cadillac convertible and show the old man that the old man is guilty of an overt act, see? He can't show the old man guilty of an overt act. It's not possible. Messed-wise, he's cared for in this way and that, and they very often go into neurosis or psychosis or something of the sort to show how mean they were. They've been out-succumbed, you might say, or something. Now, this is a crazy thing about insanity, that it is as crazy in its rationale as it is. And there's nothing to understand about insanity except that it is a method of convincing someone they have been guilty of an overt act. And that is what insanity is. Now, oddly enough and horribly enough, the person may be way, way, way back down the track they're trying to convince. The person they're trying to convince basically and originally may not be in PT at all. But there must be people in PT who are substitutes for those past people. Otherwise, the manifestation doesn't come about. So you can always find somebody in present time that the person who is manifesting insanity is trying like mad to convince they've been guilty of an overt act. See, these would be the late locks on the same dramatization. But insanity can be a winning dramatization in this particular fashion, since it carries with it no responsibility and so forth. Probably has its own ideas and payments and so on, but you don't have to understand its complications beyond just this one complication, that insanity is a demonstration to somebody else that they've been guilty of an overt act and is the basic mechanism that shows they have driven them to a point where they can't even die. They're really gone. They've lost their reason. They went. Now, to cure an insane person would sound then theoretically and technically very easy. All you do is have to locate those people. You just have to locate those people that the insane person was trying to convince somewhere on the track that those are the people guilty of an overt act. See? It's a last protest. Let's say some fellow's been very fond of a doll body or something like this, and he has lots of overts against doll bodies, so he can lose this doll body. And somebody starts zapping and pounding up this doll body and punching it and so forth, and it's getting beyond the state of repair. And this fellow starts to then act in an aberrated and protesting fashion. Look at what you've done to me. You shouldn't have done it, sort of a situation, you see. And they keep on punishing the doll body, and they keep on mishmashing it up, and he's identified with the doll body, and he keeps showing them more and more and more. He's gone past the point of dying. He can't die. He figures out that he can't exteriorize. That wouldn't show anybody anything. That's the easy way out. So he just stays in there and goes mad. And this proves to those people conclusively that they're guilty of an overt act of great overtness. Now, in view of the fact that that is a below-death mechanism, an auditor is peculiarly susceptible to being dragged in with it. When the PC starts to look like he's spinning, or starts to look like he's dying first, why, the auditor is liable to feel that he's doing something too extreme, is guilty of an overt act. That's just the double mechanism, see, at work. The auditor is re-stimulated in his former beliefs and convictions that he has driven somebody insane or killed them, you see. That's re-stimulated, so he believes he's doing something bad to the PC, and you get this thing going back and forth. If the PC has been driven below death, well below death, too many times, why, the PC will start to spin as a protest to auditing and that sort of thing. Therefore, you have to take some care that the mechanism isn't accidentally or artificially turned on. The mechanism is best turned on by disobediences of the auditor's code, one way or the other, particularly those lines that have to do with eating and sleeping and times of auditing, that sort of thing. You have to have some lineup on that. However, this person is trying to convince the other person, originally and early on the track, just as a gag. The person was trying to convince other people just as a gag, just as a game, you see. But that goes into a, quote, real rationale, unquote, or a reality, unquote, and people actually feel and hurt and so forth, and their pains and hurts and so forth, supposed to telegraph to the other people they've been guilty of an overt act. Matter of fact, it's very funny what you can do to re-stimulate overts. You sometimes miss predicting them. Dog comes up to you and growls. You say, ow, 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 and start backing off and so forth. Why, if he's a friend of yours, why, he'll look at you very hurt. You know, like, I didn't mean to do that. I was just playing, you know, that sort of thing. However, if he's a very low-scale dog, he will come up high enough to become very savage. And you start backing off and say, ow, ow, don't, and so on. Well, it just makes him as brave can be, you know. He starts re-dramatizing overt acts against people. And he come over all over the top of you. You can startle a little baby half out of his wits. A little baby grabs hold of your finger or something like that, is twisting your finger around and say, ow, ow, don't. You know, baby's glad to look at you and say, what, I'm guilty of an overt act? Here I am, only this size, and I'm guilty of an overt act. But then he finds out you're just playing a game with him, so he gets all right after a while. But you have to keep it up for quite a while before he understands it's a game. I mean, you have to do it over periods of days. You can't all do it in a minute, usually. But after that, it gets to be quite a game. You pat him on the head, and he's liable to say, ow, 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 and grin at you. So on. But this complication makes it necessary, even more necessary, for you to understand what a PC is all about as a complication. He's a complicated case to that degree. You know his mechanisms. You know that he's trying to make somebody... His case state is that state of case best calculated to make somebody else somewhere feel guilty of an overt act. Now, in view of the fact that it may be copied from another person, it could be a valence. He's copied another valence that had this as a successful convincer. And this successful convincer... You see, he's copied from somebody else, therefore he took the valence over. But that makes who guilty? Who does that make? Who now is to know that he or she has been guilty of an overt act? See? That's complicated. and very often don't break loose until you as an auditor sort it out. You got to find out who the PC has been guilty of overt acts against. That's just an entering wedge, see? That's a little light touch-off. Followed by, who is the PC trying to convince is being guilty of overt acts? See, that's the more fundamental thing. You start sorting that out on an e-meter, it takes a lot of cleverness, observation, curiosity on your part. Lots of it. And you're not going to find out that it was their school teacher in the seventh grade. That school teacher might have looked just like Messalina or somebody or other, but it was, it's way back or it's upside down and backwards and all cockeyed and weird. The PC doesn't understand it, but oddly enough, the PC wants to understand it. The PC's overt act of becoming stupid, you see, it's an effort to get back at the other person and convince the other person they've committed an overt act, show them that they've made him stupid. Then he hopes that the duplication, communication formula enters in here, on the victim basis, that the duplication will bring about a state of stupidity in the other person. It's quite an overt act, being a victim. It's all covered under victim. Well, you look over these complications, and unless you, sometimes the PC is so wound up and so upset and so forth and so grogged and can't make it out that you just run confront, confront, confront. You just run lots of confront, confront, confront. It doesn't start shaking out at all. See? Now, it will eventually shake out one way or the other, see, on a long haul. And as your instructor's Dick was looking into and so forth, continuous confront will evidently run on a lower scale case than we thought it would run on. See? It'll run way down. Person who isn't making progress on confront evidently can make better progress. I don't know what the end view of this is, but can evidently make better progress on what could you continue to confront. See, continuous confronting as another thing. But that's beside the point. This confrontingness, as it shakes out and so forth, undoubtedly you could shake it all out and just run confrontingness and eventually all unwind somehow. Except for this one thing. The factor of your interest is so missing. The PC practically never gets the acknowledgments the way he should. He gets the idea the odd doesn't care, it doesn't matter. And he runs kind of flat, and he runs with no enthusiasm, and he's not in there pitching. And furthermore, the auditor isn't looking at this, too, and isn't looking it over, so you don't get the add-up of minds over this material situation or series of significances. And not getting this add-up of minds, of course, you don't get fast auditing. I tell you that it will work out if you just run, confront, continuous confront, things like that, see? It would work out eventually, but works out much more rapidly if the auditor hunts it out and looks it over. Because this adds in the auditor's interest, which of course adds in a speed of running. So there are two more factors. The PC is now running on known factors instead of what wall. An auditor can always settle a set of facsimiles back on the track and get them out of the road and handle the immediate bundle by just locating things accurately in time. He can always get rid of a patch of facsimiles. And also the auditor's interest bearing on the thing speeds running. And your PC sits there and just grinds away and all of a sudden looks up and says, I think I was Cromwell. Oh, look, look, this is no time to say yes, good, and go on with the next command. Now, it takes a nice piece of judgment. You mustn't go in and immediately audit what part of Cromwell would you be willing to confront. But he's come up with something. And it's worth your while and his to just look this over. Chances are you find out he wasn't Cromwell. He was Cromwell's executioner. That's usually how it goes on the track. He'll stay convinced he's Cromwell for some time. On the other hand, he might have been Cromwell. I know of a case that I'm absolutely certain was George III. This case doesn't suspect it. And gives a rather different story for that same period. But it's very unreal and so forth. I think this guy's George III. Every time he gets anywhere near England, he starts to go crazy. You put him in a post of very high command, and he goes stiff as a board. He's a tremendous guy. Quite an interesting thing. I've never looked it over on the case, but I'm still interested. Now, every PC is a story. And not only one, you might say he's volume after volume of novels. He has all kinds of complications and interweavings and so on. Now, you start pushing a fellow for OT, you get him all cleaned up, and he knows all the score, and he knows everything he's done, and every place he's going, he's got it all straight, and the knowingness of his immediate past goes back for, 3,000-4,000 years, and everything's fine, you get him all cleared up, and he's feeling wonderful. Well, great. That's just fine. Now, all you've got to do is start moving around on the meter and get smart enough and run a little create on anything that creaks, and you'll throw into re-stimulation a whole new novel. Now, of course, he'll be able to handle that novel much better than he handled the first one. You see, he'll be able to go much faster, but at the same time, you better look into it. Now, you re-stimulate, selectively re-stimulate, some factor of an earlier period. Now, to pass over a period without finding out most of everything there is to know about it that's really important, who was in it and what was it all about, is not, of course, to just let the PC run on automatic, telling his life's histories over and over and over, because all he'll do then, that isn't just bum auditing. It is itself an overt act, because you let him as is his hattiness. Something I've never told you is when you're having difficulty with the PC's hattiness reducing on a confront or communicate process, you should run think. You shouldn't let the PC talk. Because communication has a tendency to as is the hattiness. And you can sit right there and watch a PC who has just found out that he was Cromwell. Only he wasn't Cromwell. Or was he a staff auditor of Cromwell's? You generally find out it's the fellow that killed Cromwell, or he's the guy that really dished in Cromwell's plans or something. It's all skidded sideways. The overt act motivator sequence in the thing gets it mishmashed. Well, whatever, you find he just found this out, see? Now, it's all right to find out the rest of it selectively as long as you're controlling the find-out with this meter. You're controlling the find-out with the meter. But just let him run on and on and on means that you must be acknowledging very weakly, and he's still trying to make you interested. He doesn't feel you're interested, because he's trying to interest you. So that's different than auditing. He must have felt originally that you see, or maybe he feels you couldn't possibly be interested, so he doesn't even tell you. See, and then you go by, and you wonder what this is all about, and it's kind of snarling up. And he finally tells you, yes. You say, well, how have you been making out for the last hour since I asked you a question? And he says, I've been looking at the same facsimile. I've been confronting parts and not confronting parts of the same. The guy's been running an engram for an hour. Same picture. Boy, if you find yourself guilty of that one, then remember what I'm telling you. Get interested. Get interested in the PC's case. It must have been that you just didn't have a clue what was going on with the case. You sure better find out. Now, you'll get some wild, weird, and wonderful stories from PCs. Remember this, some of them are true. They're all based on some sort of a mishmash like this. He's in bad shape because he was a German in the Franco-Prussian War and fought against the French. And then became a Frenchman and fought against the Germans. See? You can find him in 1914, just having a terrible time fighting against the Germans, only he's a Frenchman this time. The idea? Well, he can't stand this situation anymore, so he becomes an Englishman. See? And he has terrible collusion on the fact that the English were fighting the Germans in 1914-18. He just doesn't seem to ever react on this one. never thinks about that, because that would put him back in the same condition he was in the life before, you see, when he was a Frenchman fighting the Germans. He said, so that's bad. So he's just stepped out sideways. Somebody will tell him that most English kings have German ancestry. He's liable to write great treatises demonstrating this is entirely incorrect. See, he goes way off into the left field to prove this isn't so. So, in other words, he's got various methods of not easing it, or he just doesn't notice it at all. Well, when he goes along a long time, and then he gets stupid or something and forgets his past and forgets it all, or runs into a lightning bolt or something happens and gets brainwashed, and goes over and picks up a German body. Everybody says, what a sickly child. He doesn't know anything about being a German body, but there is being a German body, but he isn't being a German body, and so forth. And then we find out the house he was born in was the house that he was the artillery captain that shelled bits. See, he shelled that chateau to pieces. You see, in the Franco-Prussian War. But it got rebuilt, and then he carelessly picks up a body in that same house. Something stupid like this gets lashed up where your time and space is identified, overlapped, and your overt-act motivator sequence gets overlapped, so he doesn't know who he is or where he is, and he's a lost dog. Well, you're finding lost dogs. See, you got to fish him out of all of this crisscross, and he needs lots of help. And it's quite a story. It's always well worth listening to. And if you don't get these things as stories, you get nothing. And he could just go on, and it'd all work out at some fabulously... It would work out, but at some fabulously slow rate, so forth. Now, if you're auditing a machine case that is sitting right about in there, and never anywhere along the line touch, crack up, or have anything to do with knocking machines out of existence, why, you will have the pleasure sometime of finding that your PC has been confronting beautifully all the way along the line. He's just been confronting beautifully. He is a machine, and the machine has been confronting beautifully, and the auditing man had nothing to do with him, and nothing happened to the case. Apparently, he was doing just dandy. Now, when you find these machine cases, you want to crack them up. You crack up a machine case. Oh, yeah, Susan, what part of a machine could you confront? What part of a machine would you rather not confront? Even that, you just find the fellow sitting here at 2-5, and you decide he's a machine case, and you start running the machine, just that. You know, no further research into the situation at all. Naturally, you get more and more this way, more and more that way, and suddenly, wham! Something's going to happen somewhere along the line there. Now, you just keep running the auditing command and saying, well, Ron will be responsible for anything happens. If anything bad happens, well, it's Ron's auditing command, and therefore he's responsible for what happened here. You're probably in a comfortable frame of mind, but you're not getting anything done. Now, it's got to be your auditing command. It's got to be your PC, and you've got to know the story of this PC. You follow me? Now, as I say, it's lots of novels. Now, that's purely a writer's simile. The PCs are storybooks. But it fits quite well. And if you've ever taken any interest whatsoever in reading storybooks, why, go ahead and read them. And, of course, you always have taken such an interest. I only feel sorry for those PCs who have auditors that are only interested in space opera. You see, it's books. Because they'll inevitably grab a hold of space opera bits and pieces and start examining them and so forth. They'll wind up learning a lot about space opera, but they may be auditing the wrong part of the track. Maybe their PC, unfortunately, was the best minuet dancer in French court, and that's where he stuck. You got to read the book that is there to read. You know, it's just like it's in print. You can't open a book up to the first chapter and read another book. Some people are able to do this in some way, but it's pretty poor reading. You got to read what's there. You got to find out what's there. And it's always rewarding, both case-wise and in interest. And now, I berated you, and I saw you all cringe and say, what have I done wrong? and so forth. The only thing that I see broadly that you're doing wrong is being more interested, much more interested in keeping your E-meter tone arm properly poised, or something of this sort, or keeping your confronting correct. I love these people that are obsessively doing a TR0, trying to use an E-meter at the same time. I mean, it's the most gadget thing. They ask a question looking straight at the PC, you know? So on. And then after the needle has ducked, they look down. They say, well, there's nothing there. Now, you ask the question, what's the reaction, and then look at the PC. But going through these marionette-type responses to the PC, they have their value, you understand? I mean, there's a right way to do this. Nobody's downgrading that, but you're just expected to know how to do that. And it has nothing to do with you being able to lean over and find out what the ruddy hell is going on, PC. See? And once in a while, the PC says, you say, what was that all about? Well, that isn't quite the auditing question, you understand. The auditing question, what would you confront? And the PC went this way. And then you got interested enough, you said, PC went that way, and you said, let's see, I'm supposed to acknowledge, and I'm really interested in what that was about, and so forth, and proper procedure is that I acknowledge. Good, fine, thank you, fine, good, thank you, good, fine, thank you very much, thank you very much. Now, what was that all about? Of course, the PC's blown into the next county and wouldn't know in a bet. It's just, you just as is, the whole works. Now, I'm afraid it had me like this. PC went like this, you know, and you say, what's that all about? Well, he hasn't answered the auditing question. The important thing is you want to know. Get the idea? You want to know. And the only greed procedure about wanting to know is that you ask him in the current language you're speaking. Hey. That's it. You want to know. Now, you go on a discipline. Well, fine, a discipline is a discipline. And I'll tell you that somebody who hasn't been through various disciplines, he'd play hell doing this. He just wouldn't be able to make it. You know, he wouldn't know whether he's supposed to hang the E-meter this way, or confront standing backwards to the PC, or lie down on the floor and look up at the PC. He wouldn't know anything about this. See? He'd be all thumbs and unaccustomedness and so on, and falling all over himself. Well, you're out of that now. I just graduated you from that stage. You hear me? You're out of that. I expect you know how to do that. I can turn you in any day of the week a letter-perfect job of auditing. You'd be the envy of any academy instructor you ever saw. But if I get interested in the PC, I am interested in the PC, and I'm not interested in him via TRs. The only V I use on the line is usually English. Get the idea? Even though sometimes I may ARC break a preclear slightly, or sometimes I may become much too emphatic and afterwards find out I was being much too forceful, or talking too loud, or something of the sort was wrong with all of this, you know? It's me that wants to know. You got that? It was me that wants to know. And I don't think you find any PCs I've audited that will tell you I wasn't interested in what they were doing. They knew I was interested. They usually audit fairly smoothly. Sometimes they balk. You're too damned interested, you know. And sometimes I begin to believe that a PC is not doing anything along the line, and rightly and wrongly, my interest will carry me over into putting the PC under a heavy control, a one kind. And very often, maybe the control is too heavy. But they sure did the next auditing command. And sometimes I think a PC's lying to me or something like that. Well, it's a code break. But it's I that thinks he's lying. Now, look, I didn't surrender my Thetan just because I'm an auditor. I don't think the PC's with it. Something like that. The reality that you get in the session is because I don't counterfeit my own reactions 10 times a minute. I can audit. I don't have to prove that to anybody. In 5 hours, I can get more done. Any professional auditor in the business, 25 hours. Because it's very well known. Been authenticated. Well, how come you're still trying to prove you can do TRs? See? We're not interested. Not this stage of the game. All we're interested in is you doing something with that PC. Get the idea? I don't care whether you do it standing on your head. Do it. I don't care if it halfway through the thing, you totally wrong-headedly decided that you were being totally wrong-headed in the way you're going about the thing, and do a flip. Well, if I'm satisfied you didn't flip because you chickened, but changed because you thought you ought to find out some more or to get a further progress and so forth, I'd be the last person on the world to chew your ears off. But if I thought you just got scared and thought you were going to kill the PC or drive them insane or something if you kept on with the process, you'd hear from me. PCs don't go insane on processes. But about the only crime you could really commit, as far as I'm concerned, is not getting anything done. And in not being interested in the PC you were auditing, and auditing that PC, not a textbook PC. You understand? So auditing is auditing, and it facilitates getting something done. But ritual, for its own sake, should be left to the Pope. Well, just get right in there and audit. You can't hear what the PC said? Well, put your ear over close to his face. And he seems to be trying to blow or something of the sort, or appears very nervous. Well, hold him in the chair. You don't think he's listening to you? Very good. Give him a solid comm line of an arm. And if it's a pretty girl, why, get her to sit on your lap. But you're an auditor, and as such, you are not an unimportant person, and as such, your interest in the case is essential. And that's first, paramount, and foremost. And you're going to get the most auditing done by auditing. You understand? Yeah. Well, do it. Do it. Do it. Thank you.